Good morning and welcome to the Sports Polygamy Podcast. It's Friday, the 11th of January 2013, and I am back with my main lover, Kirk Dalziel, in our two-parter, our second part, obviously, to run over to 2013. Are you excited, Kirk? Are you disappointed that 2012 is over?
It's just another year, but Eric, what I'm most concerned about, it's been a long time since I've had the stamina to go twice in one night, so let's get through this together.
Do you need some herbal tea, Kirk? Do you need to limber up?
Maybe I'll go do some Bikram yoga. Jesus Christ.
All right, keeping the maturity levels high. See, I've been doing all these like professional level podcasts while you've been away, Kirk. This is like slipping back into comfortable pajamas and not watching shitty TV. All right, so let's start off our preview of 2013 by calling some winners. Let's start off on a bang. I'm not going to talk you in here, Kirk. I'm just going to say, who wins the Super Rugby competition in 2013?
Otago Highlanders. Baby. Oh my God. It's the year.
No.
It's the year of the Mountain Man. Oh, they have some big signings, Eric. A lot of this is contingent on Colin Slade staying healthy, but they got Manonu, Brad Thorne, and Tony Woodcock. This isn't crazy.
What is the average age of those guys? 60?
About 65. You don't worry about that.
I thought Tony Woodcock retired.
Nah, he's still going, and he's still damn good. He's been playing for Auckland. He's still got it.
Oh, great. So he's bringing that Auckland stink over to Otago.
Oh, no, but he did this with the All Blacks. I remember when they dropped him because he stank and he went back and started killing everybody. So I'm hoping that has a similar effect. But Brad Thorne, he could play until he's 60. What are you talking about?
Kirk, what have you done?
They got it, Eric. They got some good backs.
Right.
I'm just hoping.
Oh, my God.
If they don't win it this year, they're never going to win it.
Yeah, but you're asking a team that never makes the finals to win the competition.
Yeah.
If they qualify, they'll be so happy they won't even turn up to the game.
I'm not asking too much, Eric.
Good God. Oh, my gosh. Well, my slightly silly prediction is sane in comparison to yours. It's the boys, my boys from last year, who kind of made me look smart. The Sharks.
The Sharks?
The Sharks.
All right, fair enough.
Well, I mean, they looked a lot better last year than they had previously. They made it to the grand final. I think if they get home field advantage and don't have to spend half their life on a plane, they could make the extra step.
Yeah, I think you got a pretty good chance of that happening as well. But I'm going purely from emotion.
So you don't have a percentage on your prediction?
Oh, about 2. A 2% chance of happening. I like them odds.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I hope people aren't putting any money on the back of these predictions at this point. We've started off on a strong point, at least. So, NRL, Kirk.
It's either Melbourne or the Bulldogs. I can't see who's going to beat them, but probably Melbourne, I guess, or the Bulldogs. It's one of those two. It's a pick 'em out of
the Melbourne Bulldogs.
And the Melbourne Bulldogs will win it.
Yeah, I think it's the Storm. The Storm deserves favoritism. I hate
them. What contrarian, I'm going to say the Bulldogs.
Okay. All right.
Both teams I hate, but...
Yeah, well, I'll support the cheaters, you support the rapists. That's
the way it's going
to
be.
Fantastic. There's not a whole lot more for us to say there. AFL. I'll go first this time, Kirk. I'll say Hawthorn win.
I was going to say the same thing as well.
We have to pick someone different. I think that they have the best coach in the league, clearly. They have the most game-breaking player still in Buddy, even though he had a mixed game in the grand final. And I think they'll come back hungrier, having lost that game. I think there is going to be some exciting teams in the year to come. I think there'll be teams that make great improvements, like Adelaide, for example. I think it'll be interesting to see what Carlton can do. But I just don't see who's going to be able to operate at Hawthorn's level in 2013.
Well, that's fair enough. I'm going to go the West Coast Eagles.
Jesus. You've got a hard-on for these old teams.
Well, I'll put it this way. They got very close this year. What? They've got young players in there. They've got a couple of old guys, but Cox is still kicking away. Nat Newey will take over a bit more. They just got really screwed by injury. A lot of their big-name guys got hurt, not even the old guys, people like Lacroix. They lost a fair few goals out of that one. So if they can stay healthy, I think they've got a good run at it. I picked Hawthorn, but you took him, you jerk.
Yeah, I knew I needed to get in quickly there. All right. Well, there you go. There's our logical sort of predictions done for 2013. So let's move on, Kirk. And I'm going to ask you what you think the biggest controversy will be in 2013?
Well, Eric, I was thinking of something a little bit different. I'm going to do 2012, and you can get your crystal ball out and predict the future. And obviously, the biggest controversy of last year was Lance Armstrong.
Yeah, it's the biggest controversy of forever.
Yeah, but he gets to go on Oprah now.
He's going on Oprah?
Yeah, he's going to do an interview on the Oprah channel.
Why do you have a mainline into bad television, Kirk?
Because I have a job that requires me to do nothing. I'm like a lonely housewife.
Is this Brenda, the security guard, who's been telling you this again? Or?
No, but she is making my 2013 Super Rugby pick, I can tell you that.
So, yeah, obviously Lance has to be the biggest controversy of 2012. It broke everybody's hearts. 2013, Kirk, I'm going to say the biggest controversy, something more domestic, obviously not so much on an international scale. I'm going to say the Magpies. I think there's big trouble brewing in Collingwood. I think that we will see more details emerge about this allegation that there's a party boy culture within the team, that there are many players on that team with drug strikes against them. And I've heard some people who I know personally discussing the fact that they know people within the club who think there's a lot of people who will get carted out of the club in 2013. So it's all highly speculative, but Caro wrote a pretty controversial article about it at the end of last year, and it's the most high-profile club in the league. And so when this stuff happens, it's probably going to come out sooner or later.
You know, somebody needs to take the mantle from the West Coke Eagles. It'll be nice to see a change at the top.
Well, it's just curious. Like, I am of the opinion then when you have somebody, although obviously Kara's not the most popular journalist in football, she's at least got some sort of reputation to keep. So if she goes out on a limb writing articles like that, I suspect there's something of substance behind it. Anyway, what about the surprises, Kirk? What did you think was the biggest surprise of 2012?
The biggest surprise of 2012 was definitely the finish to the English Premier League.
Yeah.
Mainly because that shouldn't have even been a contest, given that Man City were playing QPR. That was just astonishing. You're never going to see anything like that in the next 50 years, I don't think. That was heart-wrenching and blood-boiling stuff. It was so entertaining to watch.
And I think it's extra special in a format like that because it's so rare. Like, having a league format that comes down to the last minute of the last day to decide the Premier is bizarrely improbable. And obviously the drama of the fact that it had to be Man U and Man City, and nobody likes Manchester United except for all of China. So it was...
And Man City had to come from a couple of goals down and
yeah,
the last 4 minutes.
One of the great commentary moments of 2012 as well, those last moments. Just about everybody who covered it lost their mind. I agree. That was great. I think the Sydney Swans would probably want an honourable mention in that category, but
definitely.
I am going to say, Kirk, that the biggest surprise of 2013 will be the resurgence of a rugby union in Australia.
Ooh, that's a big call.
I think that perhaps the Wallabies won't dominate, but at least at a Super Rugby level. I mean, obviously the ARU has just announced a new chief. They're trying to restructure their organization there. I think that perhaps apart from the Force, you've got four Super Rugby franchises who will all be highly optimistic about this year. The Brumbies with Pocock, the Reds with a hopefully healthy Genia and Quaid back together again, and still a very decent team. Probably still the best in Australia. You've got the Waratahs with a new coach and a new playing style and a couple of good acquisitions. And the Rebels also picking up some, you know, they've got potentially the best back row in Australia this time around. And with a bit of health, they could be competitive as well. So I think after a disastrous 2012, you could see a bit of a phoenix year for rugby union in Australia as we get a bit of competitiveness.
Well, hopefully. It's never good when they're at the bottom. And also to note, the guy that's taken over the top of the AAU was the father of the whole fake bomb plot thing in Collar Bomb in Sydney. So.
That's Kirk's perspective from The View, just chiming in with the reality TV component. But yeah, I think that there's the Lions tour as well, which will be exciting. If Australia should beat them, because you have to beat the Lions, but I think that it's going to be a very important year for at least for rugby in Australia, and I hope that it'll be a successful one.
Well, I hope so as well. It'll be good to see them really competitive again because the All Blacks have been dishing out some punishment lately.
Yeah, that has to end at some point. All right, who is your winner of 2012, Kirk?
Lionel Messi, baby. That guy's killing it. Broke
Yeah.
all the records. Got another best player. He's just an absolute machine. I think he got 92 goals all up this season. Who the hell does that?
It's nuts. It's nuts. My winner, Kirk, the United Kingdom.
Oh, good God.
They won everything. They won the Tour de France. They
Yeah,
won
how's
their
Northern
first.
Ireland going for them, Eric?
The first significant tennis tournament since forever. They had the most, the best Olympics in ages. They had Mo Farah. They had everything.
Their
They,
cricket team's good.
yeah, the cricket team's good. Like,
The rugby
England
team beat
won
the Blacks.
2012. Yeah, they had a cracking year.
I won't argue with that. They did have a good year.
Was freaking depressing.
Yeah, they still can't cook though, so screw them.
Yeah, and they have bad teeth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the
Anyway.
French tell me they're bad in bed as well. So I lost all the stuff that counts.
Okay. All right, Kirk. How about a winner for 2013? Who do you think it's going to be?
Ooh, for 2013. I guess I can't go the Otago Highlanders again, can I? The Otago Highlanders are going to be the winners. They are winning. They are winning in a big way. It's the year of the Scarfy.
Wow. You are just gonna live and die this year by the Highlanders. Every week is gonna be an emotional roller coaster.
Well, who's going to win it for you, Eric? Who's going to be your winner?
I'm keeping it geographical here, and I'm gonna go the state of New South Wales
Oh, good
gonna
God.
return to its former glory. Firstly, like I said, I think the Waratahs are going to have a resurgent year. Hopefully, this new coach, Checker, can bring some love to the most tormented, one of the most tormented sports franchises in Australia. Will be interesting to see how Folau goes. You've got the Swans as reigning premiers with the addition of Tippett halfway through the year. And most importantly, I think this will be the year that New South Wales wins back State of Origin.
That's a pretty good shout.
I think if that all happens, maybe toss in some A-League or something in there as well. New South Wales, bringing back the blue, 2013.
Yeah, don't expect big things from the Waratahs. I can expect the rest of it, but not the
No,
Waratahs.
not winning a premiership, but like I'm talking at least being
Actually
good.
winning a game.
Understanding that you need to pass the ball and hang on to it, like not playing like you're playing in a monsoon in England.
Yeah, playing straight out of the 1940s.
Yeah. Like I don't think Sydney's asking for them to suddenly go out and win a championship, but to just play interesting competitive rugby would be nice from the centre of rugby union in Australia.
It would be good for them.
Yes. So yeah, New South Wales winning 2013, according to me.
Well, good for you.
All right, this is the part now where we'll switch over to some toss-ups, to some over-unders and so forth, some games that we loved in 2012. And we haven't done it for a little while, Kirk. This is we've been going for a little while now. We've been stretching it out, so now we need to spice it up.
Yeah, let's get it going. Let's change positions here.
All right, you kick it off.
Okay, I'm gonna run through my over and unders here for you. I've got AFL, rugby, league, soccer, and golf.
Polygamy, I like it.
Yeah, AFL over or under 8th position for the Richmond Tigers in the AFL this year.
Over or under eighth? Under. Boom, under. I like the Tigers. I think there are too many teams that finished outside of the eight last year, like Carlton and Essendon, who are going to get better than the Tigers will this year.
So you don't think they make it into the playoffs?
Nope. Well, they could make eighth. It was over or under eighth.
I'm going to ride on the back of Ivan Marich's mullet and say that they just squeeze in to seventh.
Did you
There's some.
know the story of that mullet? Did I ever tell you that?
No, I did not.
So apparently him and it was Tippett, right, who had the mullet in
No, it was Taylor Walker.
Walker. Sorry. So yeah, it was him and Walker in Adelaide who used to play together, and they made a bet that they were both going to grow mullets, and whoever cut their mullet first had to name their firstborn son after the other person.
That is outstanding. So this
Yeah.
could go on for years.
Well, I think one of them is getting married soon, so the wife is forcing them to cut it.
And willing to accept the name of the other person.
Yeah. I mean, they're both pretty decent names. It's not like having Ivan or Taylor's. I guess Taylor's pretty bad if you don't live in Adelaide.
Yeah, if you live with in anywhere with a class system.
Yeah. So yeah, there is the true story behind why they both have mullets still.
Oh, that's great. Well, rugby, let's move on to rugby. Over or under 1.5 wins for the British and Irish Lions versus Australia in 2013. I already know where you're going with this.
Under. We can't. I can't handle it, Kirk. I have to believe. They're the Lions. They're the Lions. Like, they've got a
But it's
great
the best
coach,
of.
Gatland, this year, but come on.
Well, Wales got awfully close, Eric, so I'm not as confident as you are.
Close to what? Zero? They got 0 wins against us last year.
Yeah, with a total loss difference of what, 4 points?
I
Look, I'm going to say under as well, just because I don't want to see the Lions beat anybody except for South Africa. So I'm going to say under as well. League, Eric. Over or under 10 wins for the Sydney Roosters this season. Bear in mind they got 8 last season.
think Sonny Bill will get 11 on his own.
Playing by himself.
Yes, I don't care. He is built to play rugby league. Like, he was good at union, but he was genetically engineered to play rugby league.
He only needs 3 players. He just needs one person on either side of him as he bursts through and offwards, and then it's all over. So I think they get about 12 or 13 wins, and then if he sticks around another year, they really start challenging. Okay, soccer. Keeping in mind that Chelsea are thinking about offloading some of their big name players soon.
I appreciate your wording there. It's not football. I like that. I like that about you, Kirk.
It's not football. Over or under £50 million spent on players by Chelsea in the transfer window this Premier League.
That in context? Can I get some kind of, like, I can't pull that out of my head.
Well, they've done it on one player before, and also Man City spend like 150 every time, so they're going
I
to offload some of their big assets like
don't
Drogba.
know. That owner seems pretty volatile. Over.
In Russian, I think they go way over. Rafa Benitez, after being poverty stricken at Liverpool, will probably go apeshit now that he has a Russian billionaire at the club. So he's going to get rid of some big names and get in some good young guys that'll cost him a truckload. So I'm going to say over. Well, over.
You're making a pretty brave assumption that Benitez is going to be there at the trade window.
Yeah, well, we'll see. Which is crazy. Golf, over or under 1.5 majors for McIlroy in 2013.
under. You got close, but it's just golf seems so competitive right now. There's so many, that school of players that are, seem to be fighting the leaderboard. At most majors is going to make it tough for anyone to win too. So I think Rory's great, but I think one's kind of that's it for him.
Well, I just hope that he wins a British Open, or the Open, as they call it, because his dad and a couple of their mates put a bet on him at some ridiculous odds, 500 to 1 or 2,000 to 1 or something, and they put $100 on it each that he'd do it. They did that way back when he was about a 15-year-old with some local bookie. So,
What? As a lifetime bet.
no, he had to be under 25 or something, or under 24. I can't remember what it was. So he'd be getting close to the limit.
That's crazy. Is he still that young?
He's real young, yeah.
Far out. That's crazy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So what do you got for me, Eric?
All right. Let's move on to some toss-ups, to some either-or situations. I'm going to give you, a selection of choices to make. So first up, Kirk, two new coaches taking over very high-profile franchises in Australia. I'm going to ask you which one will have the most success in their first season. Not going to put a number on it, just which has the most success. Is it going to be Michael Checker at the Waratahs or Mick Malthouse at Carlton?
I'm just going to say Mick Malthouse because I think they've got a lot of talent in there, and they weren't that bad this year, and I think he can help them a fair bit. He could probably do with getting rid of one of his talls and trying to find somebody else for that, and get somebody up for. They could really do so with somebody that can kick some goals. So they need to get some trading done. But I can't trust the Waratahs. It's like the Auckland Blues of Australia. Promise so much, deliver so little. And I don't know enough about Michael to hold any faith in them. At least Mick Malthouse has championships, so I'm going to say that the Blues and Mick Malthouse do better.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, in keeping with my winner of 2013, I'm going to pick Checker. But yeah, apparently the word on him is that he wants to pass the ball, that he wants to play more exciting rugby, which is kind of smart because that's how you win Super Rugby games, is by scoring points. It's not really, you know, dour defensive rugby. And there, the other reality is Malthouse isn't traditionally someone who has success immediately when he turns up to places. He's kind of somebody who likes to tear down structures and build his own things in his own time and assemble his own list. So I'm not sure it'll happen in year one for him.
Well, we'll have to wait and see.
We'll have to wait and see. What's more likely in 2013, Kirk? Australia winning the Ashes or New South Wales winning State of Origin?
Now, this one's really close because New South Wales are starting to pick their act up in terms of the State of Origin the last few years. Also, I'm really starting to like some of these young bowlers coming through for the Australian team. My big concern is the top order, because if Michael Clarke fails, it seems the whole team fails. So I'm going to say that the New South Wales Blues have a better chance of winning the State of Origin.
Yeah, maybe just for a bit of a surprise. Obviously, the standard choice would be sticking with my New South Wales run, but I'll go with Australia. I think that the team is looking a lot more competitive than it has in the past, and some pretty bad teams have kind of kept it close with England in previous Ashes tests. So I think a decent Australian one can do all right.
The England squad looks so good at the moment, especially with their opening batting. And a big part of it will be if Australia can actually swing the ball on this tour. Getting the ball to move over in England is a big part of it. So,
do you think reverse swing will play an important part?
They were talking about that crap the other day when it was 45 degrees and there was no humidity in the air whatsoever. So don't talk to me about reverse swing.
All right, Kirk. Who will finish higher in their respective competitions in 2013? The ACT Brumbies or Frio?
I'm going to say the ACT Brumbies. I've got them taking out the Australian division. So that at least gets them third. And I can't see Fremantle getting into the top four. They seem to be made of glass. They'll make the playoffs again, I think. But they're just too injury prone. Too many smaller bodies in there. Or something's wrong with them. They keep getting injured. They'll make the playoffs, but they're not getting top four. Brumbies, baby, all the way.
Yeah, as sexy as I think Ross Lyon is going to be with this team this year, I think he's the kind of guy who I think will have a really big impact on his team. I kind of agree. I think the Brumbies are going to be really freaking good this year. I mean, the addition of Pocock, it's difficult to overrate how important he'll be to that team, especially if they can stay healthy in the halves.
When he goes into full beast mode, it's all over.
Yep, it's intimidating. So, Kirk, who will be the highest-ranked Australian golfer at the end of the year?
As long as Adam Scott doesn't blow up for some reason, I think it's going to be him. He's fifth at the moment. Day is the next closest. A couple of the older guys like Appleby and Allenby are struggling a little bit. So Day had his injuries in 2012, which really kept him out and struggled with ankle and knee stuff, I think. So unless Adam Scott gets hurt, I'm going to say Adam Scott stays there at the top.
What about if they take his belly putter away from him?
He'll learn. He'll learn. That's the brilliance there.
It's gone so well in the past. So, Kirk, to wrap this up, I'm going to ask you, who's going to get more wins next year? The Melbourne Demons or Mark Webber?
Well, it depends. Are they going to sabotage Mark Webber's car again? Has he got out of that joke yet? I mean, he's still getting paid a truckload, but...
No, I think he's racing. He's with them again this year.
You know, I'm just going to go with Mark Webber because the Demons stink. They are awful.
So realistically, you think Webber's going to win like four or five races then?
Three or four?
Yeah.
It could be a push. It'll be close to a push.
Yeah, I'll go with the Demons to be contrarian, but I think they'll keep it close, those two.
Ah, good. Well, Eric, I have some toss-ups for you.
Okay, shoot.
These are, of course, of the mature variety. Who is more likely to win a game between the New Zealand Black Caps and the Australian schoolboys side?
What?
Keep in mind that New Zealand were bowled out for 45 in a test match last week. 45.
Where are we playing this?
Oh, I don't even think it really matters. We'll play it in give the schoolboys, give the under 18 boys an advantage. We'll play it in Perth. With some
okay. Fans. All right. I'll give it to Australia then.
Yeah, I'm going big time. Not even doing innings at this rate.
Is the dream over, Kirk?
The dream of what?
Of New Zealand cricket as a concept.
Oh, that's so bad. Dad called me and I got about a half an hour rant about how much he hates New Zealand cricket right now. And he never talks about cricket. That's how much right now. That's terrible.
Do people actually care?
We used to. Not anymore.
Did Australia kill it with the underarm bowl? Was that the end of New Zealand cricket?
Oh, out of my girlfriend's place on Boxing Day, somebody underarm bowled me in a backyard cricket game. I then schooled them on how to play cricket. So maybe man of the match, baby, man of the match. Family hates me, apparently.
Taking it a little bit too seriously, perhaps.
Well, don't give me an underarm ball. Next up here, what is more likely? Who is more likely to become less of a douchebag in 2013? Shane Warne or Quade Cooper?
So who's going to become less of a douchebag?
Yeah,
Shane Warne.
He's quite douchey.
Yeah, but Quade is going, like, he is in nuclear levels of douchey. Like, he's out of control.
The nuclear douche.
Yeah, like, Shane Warne is a bit of a douche, but he's at least good. Like, Quade Cooper is bad and a douche.
So you're going to go with Quade.
Well, Shane Warne hasn't single-handedly sabotaged the success of his national team.
Yeah, but he did throw a ball at somebody the other night.
Until he goes on talk shows and throws his own coach under the bus when he's not played on a team, he's fine by me.
All right, my last one, Eric. Who's going to make the next cameo performance in the Expendables movie?
Oh.
Kurt Russell or Brad Thorne?
Oh, my gosh. Well, Brad Thorne will be too busy doing victory laps after winning the Super Rugby Championship with Otago. I'd love to say Brad Thorne. I think he'd be much better, but it's got to be Kurt Russell.
Ah, that's a shame. That's a shame. I hope Brad gets it. He should. I don't think the casting agents know that know about him yet. They need to know about him.
Are you saying we need to make a tape?
Well, he's got that weathered head that looks like a mine blew up next to his face or something, so you could come up with some great story about that.
I think he could compete in that group of men with their shirts off, like, you know, in some kind of tank top or action man outfit.
For a man that's almost 40, have you seen what sort of shape he's in? It's incredible.
Yeah, he's in great shape. Same for Clyde Rathbone. It's something we haven't talked about yet, but he's making a comeback this year for the Brumbies again. He is cut.
Ah, good on him. I like Clyde.
I liked him a lot. He was great when he was on the wing, so but it's doubtful that he'll do anything of significance at his age playing on the wing, but at least he's gotten himself into great shape, so good on him.
Yeah, good on him.
All right, Kirk, let's wrap this up. Let's wrap this up. I'm starting to get tired. What's going to be, do you think, your personal highlight of watching sport in 2013?
Mine's going to be the British and Irish Lions. I've always wanted to go to a game. I mean, I grew up and they were legendary. And because they don't come around very often, I'm going to say that getting to a British and Irish Lions tour match wherever I can in Australia, it's got to be on the East Coast because they refuse to acknowledge the West. We're pretty much the Northern Ireland of England right now. I'm going to say that. I want to go to a game. I want to get there, Eric.
Well, that's interesting because my personal highlight is one and the same, and I will be going to the game in Melbourne. Although I think it's going to be played at the Telstra Dome, probably. Nonetheless, I think it's going to be a great game. And like you said, it's one of the all-time things you have to see is a Lions tour. I mean, I kind of got to experience the whole Barmy Army thing with Boxing Day at the MCG, but it's not quite the same atmosphere. You know, it's a whole day event rather than this super intense hour and a half of rugby. So I think it's going to be fantastic. And I think it's going to be more competitive than recent tours of other nations just because of the state that Australian rugby is in compared to where South Africa and New Zealand were for their last tours.
They really lucked out when they came to Australia and South Africa. They caught us at our peaks. So they got touched up pretty good. But they're good. I mean, Wales has looked pretty handy, and England obviously just beat the All Blacks. So there's some good players around, and they've got a very good coach.
I think the other reality is it seems like the noises they've been making indicate they kind of understand the mistakes they've made in selection and team building before. And I think this is going to be an all-star team so much as it's going to be a team, and the coach understands that. So they could be a little bit more focused than they were in past tours, I think.
Yeah, it's going to be great. And it was good that they came out and said that they want to play the best of the best in Australia in terms of Super Rugby teams, because I know they've gone to New Zealand and played third division sides and then talked about how amazing they were because they beat them 140-0 as the bloke that they just played went back to his job at the abattoir.
Yeah, I don't know if that's the... I feel like there's a little bit of ulterior motives there as well, though. I mean, they want to play Australian national team players in the Super Rugby game so that they can beat the crap out of them and hopefully knock them out of the game that actually matters, surely.
Well, if this, I doubt that the Super Rugby teams will play their big names because they'll be in the Australian Australian camp. So it'd be a good chance for them to blood some young players and get some younger guys in there. But they've got cool little things, like they play the best of, is it Queensland or New South Wales country team? And
yeah, the Cockatoos or whatever they're called.
Yeah, so that'll be kind of interesting to see. It's good. It's like a rugby tour used to be. I mean, back in the day when they used to go to Europe and play Munster and Leinster and all those teams before they actually got to the main events.
Yeah, and there is a bit of history there as well, which is fun with those teams because I mean, remember when they went to play in New Zealand, was it Otago or one of those provincial teams did beat the Lions on a tour once. And when you watch the game, they had photos of the old teams from, you know, Lions tours from 50 years ago and significant matches they played there. So having that connection to history, I think, is a really great part of those tours.
Yeah, my old stomping ground, Hawke's Bay, beat them 1 year when we had Norm Hewitt. Huzzah. Sadly, they now stink.
Ever since Israel left?
Yeah, pretty much. And whatever the other kid's name is.
Okay. As you can see, we're fading fast. This has been a bit of a marathon session. But, Kirk, it's been fantastic talking to you again. It's great to have you back on the podcast. And I look forward to touching bases about divisional round of the playoffs next week.
Oh, it's going to be very exciting. Just a quick shout out to you as well. My girlfriend thinks you have an amazing voice. So, yeah.
Make sure she wears protection. It's quite fertile. All right. Yeah. We will be back next week with another Sports Polygamy podcast. Until then, you can find this podcast at sportspolygamy.com. You can also follow us on Facebook and iTunes, where you can subscribe to keep track. If you've got any feedback, feel free to leave it on the Facebook page or on the blog. We'd love to hear it. Until next week, I'm Eric George.
I'm Kirk Dalziel.
And that's Sports Polygamy. Thanks for listening. See ya.
So I was at Boxing Day at the girlfriend's place out in Katandra West, out north of Shepparton, or west of Shepparton. I can't remember where.
I don't think it matters out there.
It doesn't matter. It was the arse end of nowhere. And we had the family around, 21 people. Shitloads of seafood, just epic amounts of seafood. And we churned through it all. There were six left.
Six what?
Six oysters left. And I thought, oh, geez, I feel like an oyster. So I got up there, and then her obese auntie waddles up next to me, and I actually mean waddles. And the conversation went something like this. Boy, I love oysters. To which she replied, yeah. Yeah, so lovely, so refreshing. She then scoops all six onto her plate and waddles off again. She sits opposite me. The dining table and eats the last six in the whole house. And it got me thinking, Eric, what is the appropriate etiquette at the seafood on Boxing Day? My response was two oyster, four prawn, then go sit down. Come back for seconds, sure, but first round.
I don't know. It's tough. When there's that many people, it's kind of, you know, all laws of human decency go out the window because everyone knows there's not enough food.
There was 21 dozen. No, 12 dozen. 12 dozen oysters. And she took the six while I was standing there. Oh, I wasn't happy.